So Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, once again, Lord, that we get to come and sit at your feet, Lord. Lord, that we would be those that choose that better thing, Lord. That desire to hear from you, Lord, and to be taught by you, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that you would pour out your gifts of teaching this morning. Lord, how we need you. Lord, that you would give those words of knowledge and words of wisdom, Lord, that we need. Lord, that we'd have the ears to hear what your Spirit has to say, Lord, and good soiled hearts, Lord, to receive that word, Lord, to receive that seed, Lord, and have it implanted in our hearts, Lord, to take root and bear forth fruit, Lord, for your glory. Lord, just thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Lord, thank you just how much you truly do love us and how good you have been to us, Lord. So I love you this morning and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Psalm 100 might be a familiar one to many, and hopefully it's one that when you read through it, it always brings a smile to your face. Should be hard not to with words like joy and gladness and rejoicing and all that he has us to do, and because he's that good. I mean, what an amazing God we serve. And you know, one of the hard things I think sometimes with familiar psalms is we can get used to it and just kind of forget about it. Just kind of read through it. Oh, I've read that one 100 times and I already know it. But to take our time and to slow down and to truly be those that rejoice. You know, Psalm 100 could be broken down this way. What to do and why we should do it. So verses 1 through 3, what should we do? Make a joyful shout or noise. Serve with gladness. Sing. Know him. Why should we do that? Because he is God. He made us. And we are his. And then verse 4 through 5, what should we do? Enter. Praise. Give thanks. Bless his name. Why? Because he is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures. And so as we consider verses 1 and 2, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And joy. Joy should be ever present in all our lives. If you are born again, believer in Jesus Christ, walking with him, we should have that joy, that unmistakable joy that only he can put in our lives. You know, joy is greater than happiness. Happiness is only circumstantial. Things make us feel happy. We're up. Things make us feel sad. We're down. And if you base your life on pure happiness, you'll just be living that up and down life. And typically, when you base your life on happiness, when you're up, you're usually forgetting about the Lord because things are good and don't need to think about them, don't need to pray, don't need to do anything because, hey, I'm feeling happy. And then when we're sad, then we're crying out, why am I so sad? And Lord, I need help. But that joy is greater than that. And these are the things I've learned about joy. And you might have heard taking joy as an acronym, as the priorities of life to ensure that you have joy in your life. J, Jesus, he should be first. O, others, as he calls us to love and serve others. And then, why for you? And if you keep that order in your life, you should never be lacking joy in your life. Jesus, others, you. When you find that you put it in any other order, it doesn't work, right? If you put others first, and then maybe Jesus second, you have ojai, which doesn't mean anything. If you put you first and Jesus second and others last, then you have yaijo, which doesn't mean anything either. And so no matter what way you try to put it, if Jesus is not first and you're not last, you will be lacking in that joy. And I truly believe, and I find this in my own life, that whenever there's a lack of joy in my life, it's because my priority, my order is out of whack. Typically, I put myself first. And if you live for only the why in joy, you'll be left always asking, why? Why am I not satisfied? Why am I sad? Why am I upset? Why am I, you know, fill in the blank? Never truly satisfied. Always looking for more, because when you put yourself first, you're missing out because Christ has everything. And when he's not first and ourself is first, that always lacking, always looking for more. Who has ever achieved that satisfaction in anything? I'm complete and don't need anything else. There's always that desire for something more because we get bored with whatever those things are. Why do they have to have a new phone come out every year? Or whatever it is, a new this, a new that, because everything breaks down. There's no perfect thing outside of God. So when we're with him, we'll never be bored. You'll never be feeling unsatisfied. You'll never be lacking, but complete in him. And to have that joy that is always ever there, that triumphs over our feelings, that we don't do things based on feelings, but we do it because of the joy that God has put in our hearts because we put Jesus first. And then serve the Lord with gladness. And that really means serve in all things. Every aspect of your life should be a service unto Jesus Christ. It's not serve the Lord in gladness only at church, only when you feel like it, only whatever. It's serve the Lord with gladness in all things, as he's called us to serve him. And if you're missing joy in anything that you do, well, what do you know? Your priorities are out of place. So if you put, let's say, work, because that's everyone's favorite thing to complain about, right? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you have learned to serve the Lord with gladness no matter where you're at. But, you know, work's an easy one. That if you're missing joy wherever the Lord has called you to serve, and it's at work, at home, maybe any chore, it doesn't matter. That should be our life, is serving him in gladness. And if there's that lack of joy in what you do, what do you know? Priorities out of place. Now, how do you want, if you go to a restaurant, how do you want your server to be serving you? Grumpy? No, we don't like that. Uncaring? No, we wouldn't like that either. And we really want the cooks to care about what they're doing too, right? But we want them to have joy, right, when they're serving. I mean, what a poor experience if it's anything less. And so attribute that to everything that you do for Jesus as you serve him. You know, his commands are not burdensome or grievous. You believe that? Or do you always, or not always, but sometimes get that sort of feeling of burdensome? Again, good examples at work, and I use these because it happens to me too. Boss says, hey, do this. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's so burdensome to do that. But why should I serve him that way? Why should I serve anybody with that sort of attitude? If I would want others to serve with that gladness, why wouldn't I serve with that gladness? You know, if you're burdened at work, just think about this. If you were to change that into a, yes, I want to do that, regardless of how burdensome you think it is, what have you truly lost? Have you lost anything other than murmuring and complaining, which is a good thing to lose, right? But what have you really lost if you give yourself to it? Regardless to how you feel about it, but to just take this verse, serve the Lord with gladness. There's no specific as to when, where, but it's always serve the Lord with gladness. That's what he calls us to do. And how much greater when you put that into practice is your life. It's always easy to complain and murmur. That's the easiest thing to do. But yet how much greater it is to be able to take these things and to turn them and, Lord, this is for you. This is for your glory. Lord, if you've called me to this place of work, this place should shine. You know, think of Joseph's life, serving in Potiphar's house. He certainly didn't ask for that. He certainly didn't volunteer for that. But yet, what happened? Because Joseph served the Lord with gladness, the Lord blessed that household. Not because of Potiphar's sake, because Joseph served the Lord and blessed that. And we should be those shining lights wherever we go and serve with that wonderful gladness. So that when someone asks, hey, how come you're so glad about doing this task that no one else likes? It's because it's for him. Not for anybody else, but for him. You get to benefit from it, but yet it's for his glory, and I do it for his glory. I haven't lost anything if I pour into it, but I have lost a whole lot if I don't. And I've lost a lot. And it's not worth losing anything, but worth just that much greaterness that people can see your life and let your light so shine so that all would see that it's the Lord and give him the glory. You know, there's plenty of verses about serving. You could search them all out. Just a few examples here. I like Romans 7:6. It says, but now we are delivered from the law that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That's the I get to, not I have to. I don't have to serve it to serve the law, but I get to now in that newness of spirit, which is a great thing. That new life serving him for his glory. Old me, burdensome, tiresome of the work, the task, you want me to do that extra thing, but to just simply learn what it is to, if I'm called here to work 8 hours, I work 8 hours. What does it matter what the tasks are along the way? I'm still there to serve and to do it and be freed up from the burdensome feelings, the grievous feelings, but to be freed up to simply serve with that gladness. Makes the day go a whole lot better. Makes the day go a whole lot faster. How fast does your day go when you have nothing but complaints? Usually goes pretty slow. And the next thing that comes, it just keeps compounding. But how much greater? You know, who says, last week was so hard and it felt like it took so long and it was a long, hard week when you were having fun? Everyone says, man, that was so much fun. It went by too fast. But yet when we complain and things, how time goes by so slow. We wish it was the opposite way. But yet it could be. You know, when you read, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, or make a joyful noise, right? Everyone who's a bad singer, me included, loves that verse. It's one of my favorite ones, make a joyful noise, because I don't have to worry about what other people think. Nor should I worry about what other people think. I should praise the Lord because he's worthy, and he's worthy of all my praise regardless of what I think I sound like or what other tells me that I sound like. But he's so good. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Ephesians 6:6-7, picking it up halfway verse 6, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that all that we do, again, is for the Lord. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. if your boss ever gives you a list to write out of your priorities, write that verse. This is my priority. This is my life. Now, a number of years ago now, but we had to write that out, and I wrote that. And the rule was for the supervisors at the time is that they had to read your goals and priorities every time you had a monthly meeting. So they got to read that verse every month. Like, hey, that's a great way to work that in. I didn't know that, but that was my priority. Because if I didn't do that, it didn't matter what the rest of my list said. It would have never been achieved. It would have just been platitudes, which most people live by. You know, when you think of people writing resumes, you got to puff it up, right? But why don't you just write the truth and just trust the Lord where he calls you? Because he'll open those doors. Don't trust in yourself, trust in the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 90, verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Wouldn't that be a great prayer as you go into work? Lord, establish. Let the beauty of you, Lord, be established upon my hands. The work that I do, all for your glory, Lord. Might change attitudes of how we approach and do things. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And just that simple reminder is that day when we stand before that Bema seat and he tests the works. How much of it do you want it to burn? I mean, we want all that bad stuff to burn up, and we'll be very thankful that it's burned up and never there anymore. But how much greater as we serve the Lord with gladness that there would be that gold and that silver, those precious stones. And again, wherever we're at, wherever we're serving in our lives. Verse 3, back to Psalm 100. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So know what? Know that the Lord is God. Know that he is the creator. He's the one that made us and not we ourselves. And how many people get that all wrong? How many people believe that somehow that they're really their own God? They're the one that did it. And many times people will try to make God. That's what all the idol worship is all about, is I make God into the image I want him to be, forgetting that he who made us. He is the creator. Know that he is good. Know that he is merciful. Know that he is truth. Know that we are twice his. He's created us, and he's also bought us with a price. Twice his. What a beautiful thing to know that we're twice his. Not only did he create us, you know, it's like the story of the gingerbread man. The baker made the gingerbread man, right? And he ran away, this gingerbread man. And he got caught by a cookie seller, put in the window for sale. And the baker comes along and he sees this gingerbread man and he says, hey, I made that. What does the cookie seller say? Yeah, that's $5. But I made it. He's mine. Nope. $5. So what's the baker do? Pays the $5, right? To get what he created back. And in a very simplistic way, you know, how much greater who God who created us, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? He's the one who made us, and we're the ones who ran away. And sin and held and sin and Jesus comes and buys us back. Bought with a price. See, if you don't put Jesus first, you're lacking joy, forgetting that you've been bought with a price. That he willingly laid down his life so that we could have life in him. Bought with a price. Put Jesus anywhere but first, no joy. You're forgetting what your Savior has done. Who your Savior is. Know that we are twice his. And I like when you come across verses that say that we are called to know him. You know, we're not called to come to Christ and check our brains at the door and live in ignorance and somehow that we can't think for ourselves anymore and just have to blindly follow things. No. God says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, come, let us reason. He doesn't call us to unreason. He doesn't call us. He calls us right here to know him. That we should take that time to get to know him. Again, if you're not putting Jesus first, you won't be getting to know him. You know, the Proverbs warn that that the fool, and I forget if it says fool, but he is foolish, that seeks to understand his own heart. Now, Jesus says, what's in your heart? That's where the sin is, and that's what comes out, and that's what's revealed, and why would you want to dig into that? But we're called to know him. And we should take that time to know him. We should take that time to study and to know these things and to know that his word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and the things that it does in our lives. Amazing. Called to know him, not just, again, just live for self, not the why first, but J first, Jesus first. We are called to know him, and we're the sheep of his pasture, which is quite, I think, an amazing thing. You know, Jesus is the one that pictures, and we'll look at John 10 here in a few minutes, but the Good Shepherd, he's the one that makes the picture for us. You know, when you think of being compared to something, an animal in this case, sheep isn't the first thing that I think we would naturally just think of. What's the accusation many will say? You're just a bunch of sheeple. Can't think for yourself. Just blindly follow. And God uses this picture for us. And if you ever, now I've never been a shepherd, but read about it and you can look into these things and look into how sheep act. And if you want quite a fascinating read, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. It's a great, interesting read because here's a believer who was a shepherd and takes Psalm 23 and walks you through. It's like, yeah, this is how the sheep are. And what a parallel to how we are and how much care we need. And Jesus says to follow him and just how great the Good Shepherd is. And we are the sheep of his pasture. It's a free choice. You're not forced to be his sheep. But it's that free choice to choose that. To be the sheep of his pasture. You know, what a comparison again. That, you know, we like to think we're better. We're better than a sheep at that comparison. But yet, you know, how great the Lord uses that as a picture for us. Because just the dependency that the sheep have upon their shepherd is an amazing one. And when they're left on their own, just how they go off and find themselves in dangerous places, eating food that they shouldn't eat and getting sick and falling down. And if a sheep turns on its back, it can't get back up on its own. And the shepherd's always there, caring for and watching over. Just what an amazing picture. And so why would those ridicule? Because, again, it's a free choice. Not a sheeple, as the accusation would be. Why the attack or those that would ridicule Jesus or followers of Jesus? You see a lot of anger, violence that happens from that. And I boil it down to this, that when living a lie, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and when that lie gets confronted, it's usually defended by anger and or violence. Those that promote many things, look at all the deaths that have happened. Is it because of believers going out to share the gospel or those seeking power over others? Have you ever met or known an angry, violent, truthful person that says, if you don't believe 2 + 2 = 4, I'm going to strangle you? No. But when truth confronts the lie, and those that want to defend that, that's where that anger and violence, you look at all the violence going on around the country. What are they defending? Are they defending truth? You don't have to be violent to defend truth. But whenever you step on someone's idol, watch out. Because that's when the rage will expose itself. They might be very nice, but once you step on their idol, what happens? Do you have to go and threaten people with death if they don't believe in Jesus? No, because that would be a compulsion. It's free. It's a free choice. That we should know our good shepherd. We don't have to defend with violence to try to force people to believe this or that. But we get to go out, serve the Lord with gladness to share this good news, this glad news, right? And as you know your good shepherd, we should also know his voice. Let's turn over to John chapter 10. We'll pick it up in verse 1. John chapter 10. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And the good shepherd, the shepherd here, we see the sheep know his voice. He calls them by his own name. And as we've been charged with being spirit-led in all ministry, we should know our Savior's voice. We should know his voice in our lives. And for me, for the most part, the Lord speaks to me through his word. Now, there are times when, you might hear it said that, people say the Lord speaks to their heart, or maybe a thought comes to mind, but we should know his voice. Because those thoughts that come to mind are either going to be his or mine or the enemy's, right? One of those choices. But we should get to know his voice. If you don't know his voice, start asking the Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to follow you. You say right here that the good shepherd, you're the good shepherd, that the sheep know his voice and follow him. Because who do you want to follow? Well, I want to follow Jesus and to know his voice. And a number of years ago, just desiring to know more of what it is to hear his voice and hearing others talk about that and not really understanding it. And Saturday morning, I used to pray with a couple guys. We'd walk around a neighborhood and pray and walk. And one morning, as we're about halfway through our prayer walk, and the thought came to my mind, I looked over in a driveway and saw some trash sitting there. Pick up that trash. I thought, I don't want to pick up that trash. Why did that thought come to my mind? That doesn't make sense. I'm not picking up trash. That's a weird thought. But as we were walking, that, like, two steps later, the guy who was praying was praying about, Lord, you know, we desire to hear from you and follow what you say. And even if you tell us to pick up trash, want to do it. I was like, whoa. How would he pray that when I just thought that, rejected that, and then, you know what I did? Kept walking. But the whole time my mind was consumed, like, oh, Lord, I wanted to hear from you. I believe that you'll teach, and here I have clear evidence of the Lord speaking into my life so that I get to know his voice. But then I further reach, I was like, what am I doing? And at the end of the prayer, and we get back, and the other guys leave, and I was, repented, and Lord, I so blew it. I was like, what can I do? And then, I believe he told me to take a trash bag, take that walk again, continue to pray, and pick up all the trash I see. It's like, you got it, Lord. Picking up every, you don't know how much trash is in people's yards that you just can't, just little things. You know, I'd see a little one and go, do I need to, yeah, I need to get that one. And everything I was picking up and putting in there. And when I made it back to that one spot, the Lord said, now you can be done. And just kept, just like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for repentance. Thank you for not abandoning me. Thank you that I could, instead of just rejecting, I could learn what it is to serve the Lord in gladness, because I was quite happy that he would allow me to still serve him. Whoa, sorry about that. That was quite jarring. That will happen if you don't listen to the Lord. So watch out. But we should know his voice and get to know his voice and continue to ask, Lord, I want to hear you. And he's not going to contradict his word. He's not going to tell you things that are off the wall. Picking up trash isn't off the wall. That's actually a good thing, right? He's going to tell you things that are good to do and right to do. Jesus, others, you, knowing his voice, being spirit-led in all ministry. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So anyone who enters by Jesus will be saved. You freely choose to enter in, right? So if you ever get called a sheeple, just take it as a wear it like a badge. You better believe I'm a sheeple, I'm his. Now, you use it in an accusing way, but I know I'm his. I hear his voice, I follow him. And it's a great thing. You can believe whatever you want. But I am his. I have freely made that choice. And he says to know him, so I continue to dig in and not be blindly led, right? To be blindly led would be to listen to a different voice. But to be spirit-led. And again, twice his. Never forget that you're twice his. He created you and bought you with a price. And living that in and out life. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out, find pasture. The in and out life, not the up and down life, based on your happiness, right? If you want to see an example of up and down life, read the book of Judges. It's not a pretty picture. But the in and out life, in meeting with the Lord, taking that time, those devotions, out for service. In and out, always with who? With Jesus, your good shepherd. Think of Psalm 23, Psalm 23 living. And another familiar psalm, right? Psalm 23, what is it to live the Psalm 23 life? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you feel like you're lacking, you go back to that verse and read it and go, oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. He says I shall not want. So what's wrong at the moment? What's wrong with me? Where's my joy? Oh, I've been putting me first. That's why I want. Lack of want. But we shall not want in him. He's the one that takes us to those green pastures. He's the one that brings us by those living waters, right? What a wonderful song to sing this morning, Psalm 23. And give him worship in such truth. Psalm 23, the in and out life. Verse 10, back in John 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. What a verse. Love it. That we can have life and not just have life, but have it more abundantly. Do you have abundant life in Jesus Christ? Now, Psalm 34, you might know verse 8. Let's see. I've got to get there first. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know that one, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Verse 10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Just take that verse in. Do you believe that? Those who seek the Lord shall not lack. Shall not lack any good thing. What an amazing verse. What an amazing truth as you take that in. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Are you seeking the Lord? How do you seek the Lord? Do you have lack? Are you seeking him? He says, you shall not lack any good thing. If you were to take inventory of your prayer life, would you categorize most of your prayers as those in which you are asking God to serve you? Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, do this, do that, where he's serving you? Or are most of your prayers asking God on how you can serve him? What a question to ask. What a heart searcher to consider and just to think again. Lord, what is my focus? How's that joy working out in my life? Because he already knows, right? He uses these things to to search our own heart so that we could see where we're at. He already knows where we're at. He knows where he's at. We're the ones that are confused most of the time. But yet, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The young lions, they lack, right? You know, again, if you're thinking about choosing an animal, how many would choose a lion over a sheep? Probably think like, wow, lion, that would be way cooler to be pictured as a lion versus a sheep. That would be way cooler, but if you look into the life of lions, which I did, because I was interested in it, they have a horrible life. Lions, real lions, that is. One out of every five lion cubs, only one out of every five, make it to about 2 years old. A 20% survival rate. Wow, that's not very nice to begin with. But a constant need to always try to take down the top one or fend off the others that are trying to take you down. A life of unsuccessful hunts most of the time. I think it's a 90% failure rate. So you're always hungry, you're always malnourished, you're always getting hurt, you know, as the herds kick you or gore you or whatever they're doing. You're always trying to fight off the top guy if you can. If you're the top guy, you're always trying to fend off everybody else who's kind of, can you imagine living a life like that? But yet, when that's your focus, when power is your focus, that's your life. Those that, you know, you always root for the underdog, and then they make it. What's the next thing people do? Can't wait to see that guy now get tore down. You made it to the top. Now we got to tear you down. It's a life of constant sorrow, constant fight. I mean, not a very good picture, I don't think. And plus, when you take that verse, the young lions do lack, but those that seek the Lord shall never lack any good thing. What an amazing promise that we should be seeking the Lord in all those things. Imagine looking to your shepherd and just seeking him. Where are we going today? What do you have in store? What do you got? Are you going to take us to green pastures? Well, of course. What else would I do? But just continue to seek the Lord, never lack any good thing. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's kind of like the lion, right? And that's their life, only trying to seek to kill, to steal, to destroy. That's their life. You know, those that the thief, the one that would try to rob you of truth. You know, as followers of Jesus, serving the Lord with gladness. Jesus says that we should be those that, if you want to follow him, to deny self, right? Kind of thinking of putting that Y at the end, right? Deny self. Pick up your cross, follow him. Now the thief is one who takes that which is not rightly his and uses it for his own ends. Now, as a follower of Jesus, to help us serve the Lord with gladness, what's our danger? Our danger is being an embezzler, which is far more despicable than the thief. Why? Well, it's because the embezzler is one that takes that which has been committed to his trust, that which has been given to him to oversee and has been given supervision and misappropriates it, misdirects that, and uses it for ends other than that for which it was entrusted to him. This life that God has given you, the gifts that he's poured into you, the talents that he's given you. Again, we can be embezzlers very easily, right? When we misdirect it and use it for other things, he's entrusted us with those things, and we should be those good stewards. And it helps when we serve the Lord in gladness, because then we're not thinking about self, but thinking of him and how these things can be used again for his glory. To live that in and out life versus that up and down life based on our own wants and desires. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. The good shepherd, the one who willingly lays his life down for his sheep. That's the one to follow. This wonderful in and out life. And back to Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now imagine, as you're coming back from a day of being out and about following Jesus, living the Psalm 23 life, right? Let's say today that's how you started, and you know you're following your good shepherd and going to the places where he has for you and taking in all the things that he gives and has for you and you just living that wonderful Psalm 23 kind of day. Because even though enemies might be about, you know, the Lord's the one, he's the one preparing the table for you to sit at. Doesn't matter where the enemy's doing. Even though you've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, right? You're the one who's already conquered death. And verse 4 becomes that much easier of a response. If you imagine living such a day, now coming back to the sheep pen, if you will. Entering through those gates with thanksgiving. What a day, Lord. Thank you so much. What an amazing time. Just how good you are. Lord, I sought you and I didn't lack any good thing today. Just give you all the thanks and into those courts with praise and being thankful to him and blessing his name. What an easy response, right? That we could end that day with. Entering at the end, just, wow, what an amazing God we serve. Doesn't, again, matter where you work. Doesn't matter the chores that you did. Doesn't matter how you laid down your life for others that day. But just, Lord, what an amazing day. You're worthy of the thanks. You're worthy of the praise. And Lord, do bless your name. Now, Jesus taught a parable about three servants that he gave one 5 talents, right? And the other he gave 3 talents. And finally one he gave 1 talent. And the master, you know, he goes off on a journey and he's away and he says, do business while I'm gone, right? Matthew 25, if you want to check it out. And so the one given the master finally comes back and the one with the 5 talents comes back and you remember, you know, Lord, you gave me 5 talents and I made 5 talents more and here you go. And what was the Lord's response? You know, you've been faithful with little. Be faithful with, you know, he points them to more. And his final phrase was, enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord. And the one with 3, same thing. And so how do you suppose they entered in? Or even started serving with gladness? Or this is burdensome? And at the end, just being able to bring that and, Lord, I did this for you. This is for you. I think they were easily able to enter in with thanksgiving, with praise, and giving thanks to the one who gave them those 5 talents or the 3 talents, right? Now, the one that was given 1, what did he do with his talent? He buried it. Then he came in, not thankful, not praising, but complaining. Lord, I knew you're a hard master. It's your fault I didn't do anything with my 1 talent. And blaming the Lord for these things. No joy. He only had, you know, people can look at the different amounts of, like, he only had 1 talent. I mean, he could have done so much more with just the 1, but too burdened. Too hard to do anything with this. Takes away from my TV time, or takes away from whatever it is that you put first. My self-pleasure, putting why first, right? He was not very thankful. How much greater for us to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Joy. Well done, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. At his right hand are those pleasures forever. In his presence, that fullness of joy. Jesus? Others? You? You know, it's, again, use that as a reminder if you need. If you're lacking, if you feel out of place, out of sorts, you know, whatever it happens to be. We all go through that. It's what we do when that happens. How fast are we to come back to the Lord and fall back on what we know? Again, our good shepherd. Is he truly having you lack good things? If you think that, are you seeking him? Are you seeking him for these things? Or is it all about you? Because again, if you put the why first, you're going to be left with nothing but asking why. Why? Why is this happening? Why can't I do anything? You know, just doesn't matter. And then a wonderful verse to end on. I think it's a wonderful verse. Or it's 2 verses, actually. Jude, verses 24 and 25. And you don't need a chapter, because when you turn there, you'll find out. You only have 1 option. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory." Just imagine that scene, if you will. That Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. What a wonderful day that's going to be when we're presented before his glory. Faultless. Why? Because Jesus paid that price. We're only found faultless because he is faultless. Found in him. And what's it say? How's Jesus going to do it? With exceeding joy. And that blows my mind. That he would present me in such a manner with exceeding joy. Because I can be focused on all the faults. I know I don't deserve any of that. I've fallen many times, but yet he's the one that picks me back up. He's the one that bore my sin, bore my shame. And he's going to present me before his presence with exceeding joy. How could I not put Jesus first? Others second. And if it ever happens to me, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. What an amazing God we serve. What an amazing psalm. That we should be those that are full of joy. No, I make a poor cheerleader. But you know, there's times when you think, come on, rejoice, do it. And if you want a bad picture in your mind, think of me as with pom-poms or something. But but that we would be those that go about with such joy in our own lives. That we don't have to try to goad people into being joyful or joyous, but just, this is who we serve, this amazing, wonderful God who has done this amazing work. That we get to freely choose and enter in, not by force, not by compulsion, but freely choose. And we get to freely choose how we serve him. I'm going to choose to serve with gladness, to make those joyful noises. And when I'm not, then you can goad me. Hey, where's your joy? Who do you got going on first in your life? What have you replaced Jesus with? Who's your focus? Because if you're missing that joy, one thing I know, Jesus is not your priority at the moment. You need to get him back on the throne and you off that throne and follow him. So Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your love and your grace in our life. Lord, how true it is that we should be making joyful shouts, noises, all times, serving you with gladness, Lord. Lord, the fact that we get to come before your presence is amazing. And then you call us to come before your presence with singing. Lord, that we wouldn't be those that have tight lips. But Lord, lips just loose to sing your praises. Lord, thank you that you have made us. And not only that, Lord, you've bought us with that price. Lord, thank you that we get to be your people and the sheep of your pasture. Jesus, thank you that you lead us in and out, Lord. You know us by name. Lord, you call us by name. Lord, we do get to know your voice, Lord, and follow after. Lord, that you continue that work that you said you would do, Lord. You said you would build your church. And Lord, that we would be a people desirous of that build that you're doing in our lives, Lord. Lord, fully yours. Lord, fully in. Lord, Lord, wherever joy has been misplaced, Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, with a misplaced joy, Lord, do that work in their life. Lord, as you bring these reminders, Lord, into their own lives, Lord. And Lord, thank you for repentance, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness, Lord. Thank you that you're faithful and just to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness, Lord. Give you all the praise and glory, Lord. Lord, and that you would be thanked and blessed, Lord, this day from our very lives, Lord. Lord, that our lives would shine for you, your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.